What's good, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Health in the Whole podcast. Today, I'm going to be interviewed by none other than my mother. Hope you enjoy. All right, everybody. Like I said at the top, my mom is going to be interviewing today. She's going to be asking me some questions about common things that people hear, people want to know about chiropractors, and some additional questions of her own. So let's get started. What do you got for me, Mom?
So why did you want to become a chiropractor?
I wanted to become a chiropractor for a lot of reasons, honestly. I never knew that I wanted to be a chiropractor till about 6 years ago, I guess. I never had been to a chiropractor, at least I thought I hadn't. I learned later on that I had gone when I was a little baby, and my mom took me there for a bunch of ear infections, so that was kind of a serendipitous finding. But I wanted to help people, was the main thing. I wanted to be in the health industry. I started out as a pediatrician, wanted to go to school for that, and decided that that wasn't for me. So I kind of shifted gears, went into the environmental route, and started doing environmental research in ecology and biology, and still missed the health world. So I kind of combined the two, and that is kind of how I ended up with chiropractic. I like the holistic nature of chiropractic care and how I can use movement to help people and how I can move throughout the day and also be a businessman. All those things kind of came together really perfectly to help me decide that chiropractic was the perfect place for me to be, and I absolutely love it.
Some of the things you've told me you do and I've seen you do is sort of like a physical therapist. What's the difference between a chiropractor and a PT?
Honestly, these days, I don't think there's that much, at least for the type of chiropractor who's movement-based, like we are at Backcountry Health, and the type of chiropractor who's more evidence-based and doesn't want to keep you coming back for care. So in that way, I think we are a lot like physical therapists. We like to say at Backcountry Health that we are a hybrid of PT and chiro because we still adjust. We still do the typical chiropractic thing where we adjust you with our hands. But we also do a lot of movement therapy and I'll give you a lot of at-home exercises that you can do to help take care of your problem on your own. So in that way, we are very much so like a physical therapist. And I have the utmost respect for PTs because a lot of people in my family are PTs and they do really good work, and I get a lot of my information from them. They're highly evidence-based for the most part, and yeah, they help people really well. They do the things that the evidence says is the best for long-term care, which is mostly movements and exercises that help you take care of the problem on your own.
Okay, so in summary, what does the word chiropractor mean?
Well, the origins of the word come from Greek. Chiro, meaning hand, and practic, meaning practice. So the summary of the word chiropractor means done by hand, which is a testament to the adjustment, which is done with our hands and not with a tool. Sometimes people use tools like an activator you may have seen before, but the word chiropractor means done by hand. So that goes back to our history, our origins as a profession with D.D. Palmer, the originator of chiropractic, who adjusted a guy and his hearing was restored. He was deaf in one ear and his hearing was restored after an adjustment. I don't know how much of that is folklore or not, but it's kind of a cool story. So done by hand was the name that D.D. Palmer stumbled upon or had help deciding upon, and that's where chiropractic, the name, was born. And so that kind of goes along with a lot of things, not just the adjustment, but the movements that we do, the mobilizations that we do are all done by hand, meaning like not with medications or surgeries or invasive care like that. What else you got?
That seems to all make sense, but sometimes chiropractors are known to be quacks. Why do people say this?
Yeah, so I guess that kind of goes back to the origins, too, of chiropractic. When that origin story of curing somebody's hearing through chiropractic adjustment, that was kind of a ridiculous claim. Claims more than it should, I should say. And that's happened a lot in our profession, where chiropractors claim to be curing things or fixing things more than they should. Now there are laws against that, but there are things that we do that aren't necessarily evidence-based in our profession. And like all professions, there are some people that kind of are more to one extreme than the other. Maybe it seems a little bit more extreme in the case of chiropractors because there's so many different ways to practice. And so some chiropractors really stray towards a route that's not necessarily justified or evidence-based. So in that regard, doctors and other people in the health industry sometimes look poorly upon the chiropractic profession because of these different bodies in chiropractic and the different ways to practice chiropractic, because some people don't do it in the best way, in our opinion. So I guess that's the short answer of it all.
That kind of leads to my next question, and that is sometimes chiros are accused of making appointments for their own financial benefit. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, that does lead into that, because that's one of the pieces of chiropractic that isn't necessarily evidence-based. Coming back for care every single week for the rest of your life hasn't been shown to be more effective than just waiting it out, or waiting out an injury and letting it get better on its own, or hasn't been shown to be better than placebo or any other types of health treatment. So in a lot of ways, that type of care, the type of care where you buy onto a care plan and you see the chiropractor regularly for 2 times a week, 3 times a week for a pretty extended amount of time, that's in my opinion, a low quality way to practice. I want to give you the tools to take care of a problem on your own so you don't have to see me. I want to see you as little as possible. And a lot of times I see a person for one visit, they come in for their new patient appointment, and I say, hey, you're good. Take care of this on your own. If you need me, I'm here for you. But most of the time, I want you to be able to have the tools to deal with this on your own so that you don't have to waste your time, money, and energy coming to see a doctor, because we're only 1% of your life anyway, at most. I want you to spend your life the way you want it and stay out of my office, not necessarily rely on me for care when I know that you can do it on your own. I know your body's strong enough to heal on its own. So what I have to say to that is that's not the way that I practice. I don't want to keep you coming back to my office more than you need to. And in some sense, I do think that the other type of model is a little bit of a financial gain, or even though people believe that they are helping people, and they are for the most part, the people that stay on for that long of care, that frequency of care, believe that they're being helped, and that's a good thing. But I don't think it's necessarily justified in the evidence, and not necessarily my way of practicing.
Okay, so it sounds like there's a big difference in the way chiropractors treat people. Why is it so hard to find a movement-based and evidence-based chiropractor like yourself?
Yeah, well, there's the origins of chiropractic are the long-term care plan type of model. It's the model that says, hey, everybody has a spine that is fragile and that needs to be adjusted regularly in order to keep your nerves functioning healthily and to keep this thing called innate intelligence alive. There's this thing called innate intelligence that is running through your body. It governs all of your nervous system and helps everything function better. And when you have misalignments in your spine, it affects that innate intelligence. It makes that nervous system work less well, and it makes your whole body work less well as a result. So the reason why it's so hard to find a movement-based chiropractor is because our origins came from this model. And so that's still pretty pertinent or pretty relevant in the world today. And the people that practice that way are very much so a active voice in the field of chiropractic. And they definitely want to impose their beliefs on the chiropractic students of the world. So a lot of students come out of their practice with this same philosophy of chiropractic that says people need to have regular care because everybody should have a well-functioning spine. Well, yes, that's true. Everyone should have a well-functioning spine, but that doesn't mean that you need to be seeing somebody every single day for the rest of your life. That's ridiculous. So it's hard to find a movement-based chiropractor because we're still kind of in the infancy of being recognized by the medical community and practicing in the evidence-based, medicalized type of way. And there's also a big divide in the chiropractic profession between those people that have a long-term care plan type of model and those that don't, those that want to keep you out of the office as quickly as possible. So that's a little bit why it's difficult. There's a really big voice in the chiropractic world that proposes a long-term care plan type of model. And the other type, the movement-based, evidence-based type of practice, is just growing.
All right, well said. So I'm about to make an appointment with a chiropractor. I'm on the web searching, and I'm not sure what to look for. What do you suggest I do to find a high-quality chiropractor?
Well, first and foremost, I think if the practice advertises movement in their practice, that's a really good place to start. Look for those types of words like sports chiropractor, movement-based chiropractor, physical therapy in their advertising, like having that integrated in their practice, and things related to athletics and getting you out of the office as quickly as possible, the things that I've kind of been saying this whole time. Another thing that's really useful to look for in a chiropractor is somebody who's well connected to the community. And that's just a good characteristic of any doctor. They should be well connected with the medical community, the health community, and just the community in general so that they can put you in touch with the right people if the case that you come to them with is not one that they can handle on their own. If they need a little bit outside assistance and if you could use better care, if you could get better care from somebody else. So it's good to have somebody who would easily refer you to somebody else and who has the connections to do that. The other thing you would look for is if you go to the new patient appointment and all they're doing is running their hand up your spine, giving you an adjustment, and then sending you on your way, you're probably not in the right place. You probably want somebody who's going to run you through a battery of tests that get you up and moving so that they can see how you function in your daily life. Because almost never is your condition related to just laying on your stomach and having a bone out of place. That's not a evidence-based type of model. We're always moving throughout our day, so we should be assessed moving throughout our day. And most of the time, your condition is related to a movement or a position. Like most of you probably aren't hurting all day long. Maybe you're hurting when you turn a certain way, or you bend forward a certain way, or you stay in one position for too long. All those things are movement and positional. So you should be moving and being put in these different positions to assess your condition. So look for that when you go to the new patient appointment. If it's not quite that way, maybe look for something else.
That leads to another question as far as we all have our aches and pains. And how do we know when to see a chiropractor or to see a medical doctor?
Yeah, so that's movement and positional type stuff is really the key there. So if you have pain with a movement or pain in a certain position, there's a really, really good chance that your pain is related to a muscle, a joint, or a tissue like fascia or the stuff surrounding your muscles and joints. That is probably the main sign that I would tell you to look for if you are concerned or wondering if I should go to a medical doctor or not. Now, the other thing regarding that is chiropractors and physical therapists are widely recognized in the medical community now that we should be the first line of treatment for those types of things. Going to a medical doctor is fine, but I would hope that they would refer you to a physical therapist or a chiropractor because every medical community in the world, every country in the world has put out guidelines for musculoskeletal care, muscle and joint care, that says you should go to a chiropractor and physical therapist first, and then you can try doctors, then you can try Advil. They even say you should go to a chiropractor and physical therapist before you even try an NSAID, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, which is like ibuprofen. So even before that, you should be seeing a chiro. That's what the guidelines for health say.
Parker, a lot of people think chiropractors just treat back issues. Do you treat anything else besides the spine?
Yeah, you know, the back, especially the low back, is definitely the bread and butter for chiropractors. It's what we focused on for our entire existence, and that still lingers on. I mean, it's what we've gotten really good at. But there are a lot of things that we can treat. I can adjust every single joint in your body. So no matter is that your elbow, your wrist bone, your neck, your toe, I can adjust that joint if that's what you need. Not always will you need an adjustment in that area. but we also have really good skills in regards to musculo and fascial care. So that's all those extra tissues that control your bones. They control your joints. We do a lot of good work, especially in our practice, with mobilizing those tissues and getting them to release, relax, or activate at the right times so that you can function better, and that usually your pain goes away first and then your function comes with it.
Good. Well, beyond the bone, muscle, and tissue, how about nutrition? Do you incorporate that into your practice?
You know, I don't necessarily talk about it with my patients in person, but I do have it in my intake form. So if people want to ask more questions, I'm there for them. And the other thing that I did to kind of help address this side of health, because nutrition is a very big thing in regards to pain, especially, and obviously whole health. The thing that I did to help with this is I wrote a book. You guys have all heard about that. It's called Lifelong Youth, The Simple Path to a Long and Youthful Life. And that has a really big section in there on nutrition, but in a less diet plan type of way. It's more of a, hey, here are the really good foods in your world that you have options to choose from. Here is the benefit that they provide to you. Now go at it. Go enjoy these amazing, delicious foods that are also really healthy for you. And I'm here for you to guide you along the way if you need some help creating diet plans or having some recipes that you need to be sent to you. If that's what you need, I'm here for you. But it's not something that I necessarily focus on in practice. It's a supplement to my care, just like a supplement to your diet.
Well, Parker, I know that you love being outdoors and think that nature supports your total well-being. What about your practice? Do you do any care outside of your actual building?
Ooh, good question. I have not done care outside of my building yet. It's a good idea. It's a really good idea. I might start doing some mobile stuff where I take people up on a hike up a mountain, see how they're moving as I go up the mountain. And if that's something that is a pain generator for them, it's actually pretty useful to see it in action. That's something that we don't always get to see. We just hear the stories of it. Like, oh yeah, I always get pain when I do this certain movement on my bike, or I always get pain when I'm on the third mile of my hike, something like that. Now that would be incredible to see in person. And because I am an active person, I enjoy doing that stuff. I wouldn't put it past me that in the future, that might be something that I end up doing.
I think that's all I have for you, Parker. Well done.
Thanks, Mom. Thank you, everybody else, for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope it answered maybe some questions that you've had in the past. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Health in the Whole. If you liked it, please subscribe so you can hear more episodes.
And remember, this podcast is not medical advice. Consult your health provider before doing anything drastic.